Welcome, everyone, to Champion Your Life with me, Leanne Champion. This is where we get to reflect, refine, and reboot your one precious life. In this space, we take a deeper look at what's holding you back. Maybe you want to show up differently for the people in your life. Maybe you're struggling with your emotional well-being. Maybe you feel as though something's missing and you want to get excited about your future. There's some good news. You can shift your perspective and begin to walk through the world in new, refreshing ways. I am a certified life and well-being coach who was called to create this show as a means to facilitate a journey of personal development. You have the power to change. Your life is precious. Don't waste another minute feeling unfulfilled. Champion Your Life starts now. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Champion Your Life with me, Leanne Champion. It's so great to be here with you all again, working towards living our best lives together. And whether you're listening to me live right now or later on the 90 different locations people tune in from, welcome. I'm just so thrilled you decided to tune in again. A couple of weeks ago on our first episode of Champion Your Life, we discussed the concepts of the 50-50 of life and the awareness around our thought life and just how incredibly important that is to develop. And today we're going to discuss for a few moments what it means to be emotionally healthy in today's world. And then I want to teach you about five emotional skills that help with what I call healthy mind management. But first, let's go ahead and tackle, what is emotional health? And have you ever thought about that question for yourself? Are you emotionally healthy? And how would you define that? And I'm going to give you a little hint here, just a slight spoiler alert. Happiness is not emotional health. So when I ask my clients if they feel emotionally healthy, what most of them hear me asking them is, are you happy? It's interesting. Often people don't know how to differentiate from these two things, emotional health, right, from happiness. But let's actually take a moment and think back to our emotional education, or lack thereof. What are we actually taught about emotion? Well, We're taught that other people hurt our feelings. We are taught that other people make us happy, right? And we are taught that circumstances in our lives make us either happy or sad. For example, if we're thin, we'll be happy. If we're rich, we'll be happy. If we're married and we have 3.5 children, we'll be happy. You know, the ifs of life, they, for the happiness requirements, just kind of go on and on, don't they? But this is what we've been taught. And this is what our emotional education has often been reduced to. Now, remember, we've never had any instruction on any of this, so it's not like we ever learned this in school. I mean, why would they want to teach us this? I mean, emotions are only the most important thing in the world for us to learn and to understand about ourselves. Emotions are the reason why we do or don't do anything. We want to accomplish things because of how we think they will make us feel. And we also want to avoid doing things because of how we think it will make us feel. Our emotional life is what matters because it determines the trajectory of our lives. So here's my question for you all. Are you emotionally healthy? And how would you define that? Just drop me a quick one-line definition in the chat box. So I'd love to hear from you right off the bat. What does emotional health look like to you? My goodness, we've all had our fair share of challenges this year. So I'm quite curious to hear what you all have to say. So again, the question is, how would you define emotional health? And I see a few coming in. Let's see what you all think here. Emotional health equals feeling good, ? Being able to manage my day and be happy. Keeping God at the center of my life. Love that, Elise. Being aware and not yelling at my coworkers. Not judging myself or others. Oh, I love that, Kate. Being content. Oh my goodness. These are really, really good. Thank you. Thank you for engaging with me. But you know, I think the only person that comes to mind that was truly touching on this topic was one of the coolest humans ever, was Mr. Rogers, right? God bless him. I think I should have watched him even more closely. But let's think for a moment. History, math, physics, trigonometry, of course, all fascinating and yes, absolutely needed subjects. However, they at least needed to be combined with what's going on in our emotional life, right? They left out that class called How to Manage Your Emotions. It also would have been nice if our educational system taught us how to be financially savvy too, but that's like a whole nother kettle of fish, right? But when I look back at all of this, all I can think of is, wow, what a wasted opportunity. And what would the world look like now if emotional well-being had been part of the curriculum? So here's my definition of emotional health. And emotional health is about how we think and feel. It's about our sense of well-being, our ability to cope with life events, and how we acknowledge our own emotions as well as those of others. And it doesn't mean being happy all the time. When I look back the last few years of my life, this process of learning how to become a life coach, and most importantly, it's been learning how to manage my own mind. And what I've discovered is that I've had to first dig deep to learn about emotions, my emotions. And in order to do this, I've had to study myself, and it's not always pretty. I've had to be a scholar of myself to understand that much of what my education while growing up taught me was not pertinent to having a healthy mind. So my goal with this show is to inspire you all to want to study yourselves too. We have what? One precious life, right? If we can learn to do this, we can be better than happy. We can be emotionally healthy. So let's dive right on into it. Let's learn 5 emotional skills that help with what I like to refer to as healthy mind management. And if you have a notepad handy, you might want to go ahead and grab it right now. So skill number 1, become aware of the emotion that you're feeling. Become aware of the emotion you are feeling. So what does this mean? This is where we learn to understand our emotions. We learn how to name them. We learn how to feel them. We learn how to identify them. So if I say to you, tell me about the emotion you're having right now, what's coming up for you? What would you say? For example, like I'm super excited right now to be talking with you. So my emotion would be excited, right? Some of you might be out in the world feeling overwhelmed right now, and still others might be feeling unsettled. But often what I hear is, I'm fine. I'm sure you all heard this too. Everybody's fine. I believe our default awareness level is, I'm fine. But you know, we're not always fine, right? If we take the time to notice. Usually we say we are fine when we're not. But the other thing that I'm hearing a lot actually is that people will say that they are feeling just anxious, which is a boatload of anxiety. And what's interesting is anxiousness and anxiety and I'm fine are all just a form of resistance to another underlying emotion, one that you just haven't quite unearthed yet. Often we are just not wanting to experience whatever that emotion is. So we're pushing it away, we're kind of resisting it, which ironically causes a tremendous amount of anxiety for so many of us. We're afraid to look at it. So the first skill is really being able to understand and identify what is the emotion I'm having. You want to be able to name that emotion. Like the more specific you can get, instead of just saying I feel down, Perhaps you could say, I feel discouraged or I feel disappointed. Being able to name that emotion that you're experiencing is very powerful. When we do this, I believe it just takes us to another level of emotional intelligence, being able to name what is going on in our minds and our bodies. And by the way, I'm sure many of you have done this before, but one of the greatest tools out there, and that has been around like forever in regards to all of this, is meditation. Ah, it slows us down, helps us to access this part of our well-being, right? And it can stop the spinning of thoughts. And if you've never tried it, I encourage you to give it a try. Okay, we're going to move on to the second skill. Allow the emotions without fear or resistance. Allow the emotions without fear or resistance. So this is much harder to do than it is actually to say, because most of us have been trained to mask our emotions or resist them. Or just good old-fashioned denial, right? And we just pretend they don't even exist. And often when my clients say to me that they know what it is to experience anxiety or anger or fear, often what I will point out to them is that they really don't know what it's like to experience those emotions. What they are much more familiar with is resisting those emotions. So here's a really fun analogy. Think of resisting an emotion with this image, okay, in your mind, just to like imagine for a minute, like a beach ball that you're holding under the water and it desperately wants to come up to the surface, but you won't let it. You're still pushing it down. Sounds like some of our emotions, doesn't it? My son Tommy told me that he always used to try to sit on the beach ball while swimming, only to have it like explode above the water and smack him in the face. I kind of think that's exactly what happens to us when we resist our emotions. But let's just compare that for a moment, just to the experience of just simply holding the beach ball in your hands, right? Just letting it be. Many of us just spend so much time resisting our emotions because we're afraid of what that experience will look like. Is it going to explode like the beach ball? Or should I just, you know, hold this emotion down and resist it? And it's so interesting. Many of us have become experts at resisting our emotions because as children, if we had experienced any kind of trauma or any kind of situation that we were unable to process at that tender age, the way we survived was simply by resisting the feeling, right? Pretending whatever was happening didn't happen. And that's totally understandable. Some of us just didn't have a choice. But the problem is that no one pulled us aside and taught us an alternative option. Many people haven't had the experience of a really good therapist or a really fabulous coach. So we haven't learned how to be present with our emotions. We've only learned really how to resist them. And I just want you to remember, feelings are just vibrations in our bodies. That's it. We don't need to fix them necessarily. We just need to be aware of them, allow for them, and really don't judge yourself for them being there. They are part of the human experience. It's interesting when we open ourselves up to whatever we're feeling and we experience and allow it to fully vibrate, then we can own it. And that's when we can finally get the authority over it. As we learn to allow for our feelings, we then learn how to use them to grow and become more confident and comfortable in our own unique skins. Okay, we're going to go into the third skill, but first, we're going to go for a quick break, but I want you to stay tuned because when we get back, we're going to talk about indulgent emotions. Yeah, those pesky emotions that often keep us from moving forward. You are listening to Transformation Talk Radio. This is Champion Your Life with me, Leanne Champion, your host and life coach. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Listen up. The wealth you receive is a result of your personal relationship with the soul of money, meaning your spiritual well-being affects your ability to create abundance. Jennifer Bloom works with people to mend the spiritual disconnects that block up the cash flow. How's your relationship with yourself? Are you in balance with the divine? I know, these are big questions, but there are answers. Take Jennifer's free money relationship quiz to learn where you need to focus your energy and watch yourself grow into the abundance you deserve. Trust the divine. Learn to receive. You are worthy of all the wealth you seek. Visit jenniferbloom.com and click on the purple banner to take the free money relationship quiz. That's Jennifer Bloom, BLOOME.com.
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nushin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Get empowered. Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you ready to experience full body system wellness? Tune in to the Empower Me Show with Pam Bright, a spiritual toolbox for your life. Embrace the fullness of who you are as a spiritual being, having a human experience. Pam Bright is a multidimensional healer, light language channel, energy intuitive, and spiritual transformation coach. Join her for a rich conversation about how to unlock all your spiritual gifts. Mondays at 3 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. So glad you're back with me. We've been discussing five emotional skills to help with our healthy mind management. I saw some other fun comments coming in. Emotional health for me is just getting through every day without a meltdown. Yes. Someone else has said staying steady. Love it. And for me, it looks like being grounded in the present and not spinning an ego. Oh, so well said. Thank you for that one. So number three of the skills that we're going to talk about now is learn to identify your indulgent emotions. Learn to identify your indulgent emotions. And let me explain what I mean by indulgent emotions. So for example, confusion, right? Overwhelm, self-pity, defensiveness, worry, procrastination. All of these are indulgent emotions, and I'm sure there is a few more that you can think of in this moment. But I can tell you right now, without a doubt, that I am a professional worrier. I have had years of indulging in this emotion. Countless hours of worry that I'm quite sure that God would have had something else for me to do had I not been indulging so sincerely in my worry. And I'm sure that there's many of you who can relate to this one. You might be thinking, okay, but how do I know if I'm indulging in an emotion? Well, you can tell if you're indulging in an emotion, if the emotion you're feeling is stopping progress in your life, right? If you find yourself unable to move forward. And often we can just be indulging on a loop and the emotion that comes up isn't useful, right? Because it isn't creating any productive results in our lives. Often the thoughts just keep us spinning. Is that we're caught in like a hamster wheel. It's not allowing any forward momentum, right? But I'd really like to hear from you all on this idea of indulgent emotions. All right, everybody, what is your go-to indulgent emotion? Is there one that pops up more than usual for you? Go to the chat box again, let me know. We can all compare notes on our indulgent emotions. But it's interesting, sometimes we indulge in these emotions so we don't have to risk failure, and or because we're just, you know, afraid of feeling any new kind of negative emotion. So we keep ourselves playing very small in the world, or very safe, right? It's very, very interesting to explore. Ooh, I love this. Love you guys. Here's some more coming in. Okay. Self-pity. Yes. Fear of unknown. Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. There's been none of that in the world. Inadequate. Lonely. Couple lonelies. Comparison. Really good. Fear. Oh, procrastination. Yep. Not enough. Doubt. Yes. Oh, yep. Here's worry again. You guys, such great awareness. You know, I think we can all relate to the feeling, these indulgent emotions, you know, of feeling them at one time or another. And what I wanted to say is, remember, it's okay to feel them, part of the 50-50, but then we get to decide, right, if we want to stay in indulgent land. Some of our indulgent emotions are really clever. And sometimes we have to like intentionally unearth them. And we can do this with what I refer to as thought downloads. Now, this is one of the tools that I teach, and it's quite handy in helping you be able to watch yourself think. So a thought download just is basically emptying everything out of your brain and putting it down on paper. This is where we can spot and then recognize those thoughts and indulgent emotions that you want to change because of the effect that they're having in your life. And I keep all of my thought downloads in a notebook, and that allows me to look at them and question them and decide which ones I want to keep believing on purpose and which ones that I want to stop believing on purpose, right? And really, awareness and just being aware is so key here. The daily practice of identifying what emotions are coming up for you, this is just like cleaning out your brain so that you can access all of the thoughts and emotions. And when we clean it out first, and we can see more clearly, you know, what those pesky indulgent emotions are. And they're usually just wreaking havoc in our lives. In the wise words of Eckhart Tolle, worry pretends to be necessary. Worry pretends to be necessary. This quote, oh, one of my favorites. All right, we're going to go to skill number 4. Be willing to experience any emotion. Don't hide. Decide to thrive. And again, be willing to experience any emotion. Don't hide, decide to thrive. So what this means is, well, this is just the opposite of hiding, isn't it? So when we hide from our lives, we don't set goals for ourselves and we don't pursue anything we want because we're afraid of feeling any kind of scary emotion. For example, so many of us hide from trying something new because we are so afraid of having it fail. We don't want to expose ourselves to the criticism or rejection. And I have to tell you, this is where the beauty of coaching can come in. When we do the work of looking at what is holding us back, and then we can say, you know what? I am willing to do this. I'm willing to go for it. I'm willing to try something new and have it fail or not be perfect. And you know what? When we do that, there's such beautiful growth and movement in our lives. When we're finished hiding and we're ready to open up to the experiences of fear and pain and joy and willingness, you know, the full range of emotions, that is when we have emotional health or the healthy mind management that we need to pursue our dreams. And I've got to tell you, In writing this show, I've had to kick some real indulgent emotions to the curb. I've had some doozies come up, not one at a time, several at a time. But here's the thing. If we're always going to have negative emotions, and if you know that that's part of the 50-50, right? We might as well then pursue the biggest dream that we have, right? What the heck? Why not? We might as well give whatever we're dreaming about a try. We might as well become the person that you want to be, fully alive, fully human, and willing to experience any emotion. And finally, the fifth skill for emotional health is learn how to create emotion on purpose. Learn how to create emotion on purpose. And this means that you understand that you are the person who generates your emotion. You generate your emotion by what you think, right? With your brain. And you can generate the emotion that you want most. Have you ever thought of it that way? For some of us, you might want to choose motivation right now. For some of you, your choice might be discipline to generate more of. For some of you, it might be courage. So do you know what I do, you guys? I choose five emotional skills that I want to feel every day, five emotions that I want to feel every day. And I include this as part of my morning prayer ritual. I'll say, today, Lord, you know what I really want to experience? I want to experience determination, love. Love always makes the hit list. Courage, clarity, creativity, for example. It's powerful. When we declare what emotions we want to feel for the day, we are declaring how we want to show up in the world, right? And of course, sometimes it does not work according to plan, but often enough, it sets the tone for my day. You know, it's funny, inspiration is one of my favorites. And sometimes I find myself saying things like, I'm just gonna wait until I feel inspired to tackle that project. But what I've learned is that inspiration finds me when I get to work. So I usually need to just get working on the project and then the inspiration hits. Sometimes we just need to show up. In other useful emotions don't sound as lovely as some of the other ones I've mentioned, but we need them in order to like move life forward. For example, my all-time favorite, discomfort. I know, discomfort is a very useful emotion, even though it sounds like a negative one. Discomfort encourages us, for example, to process something all the way through, right? Discomfort might be present if we're trying something new. Discomfort might be present if we're out of our comfort zone for any reason, if you will. But here's the thing, we need to decide that discomfort is actually our friend. There's a great saying out there that I love by Brooke Castillo. Discomfort is a currency to your dreams. Discomfort is a currency to your dreams. Wow, right? There's a real truth in that quote. So discomfort will be there on the journey to our dreams. Like write that one down, put it on a sticky note in your bathroom and look at that quote every day. The more uncomfortable you are willing to be, the closer your life will align to what you want it to be. It's so interesting. Our lives are the emotional training ground that we have been given by God. And when we can embrace it, that's when we get the deeper understanding over our lives. That's when we can start enjoying our life instead of trying to like hide from it. And actually we start enjoying the parts that aren't even supposed to be enjoyable. God just gives us a different lens in which to view things. Creating our emotions on purpose is actually just the most incredible discipline. I hope you guys will all give it a try. You are listening to Champion Your Life with me, Leanne Champion, your host and life coach. We're going to be right back. And when we get back, we are going to do some live coaching, and this is where we get to learn in real time together. I'll see you in a few minutes.
Close your eyes and imagine what it would feel like to live a life driven by purpose and passion. Feels great, doesn't it? Tune in to Awareness to Action every first and third Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific with me, Joan Marlowe. I'm here to help you navigate your unique journey toward purpose while embracing your authenticity. Visit my website, peacefullyhealing.com, and don't miss Awareness to Action on transformationtalkradio.com.
Juggling life's relentless demands can leave us unbalanced and restless. Do you feel stuck in the overwhelm? Diane McClay is a personal empowerment coach, author, and compassionate storyteller on a mission to boost you into balance and help you move forward with passion and purpose. Get unstuck with Diane on The Diane McClay Show every second and fourth Friday at 1:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Diane, visit DianeMcClay.com.
Champion Your Life with me, Leanne Champion, first and third Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. That new gym membership might help you get fit, but what about emotional fitness? Jump into the rushing waters of personal growth. Don't waste another minute feeling unfulfilled. Visit championyourlife.com and let's do this together.
Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Tune in to Transformation with Martinet every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Martinet and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation. Begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific to Transformation with Martinet.
Ascending with the Octurians with Vivian Chouvette. Tune in to Transformation Talk Radio every second and fourth Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We are shifting from this third dimensional plane of reality to higher octaves of life. Let us reclaim our sovereignty as a united family of light and manifest the planetary ascension, our return to Prime Creator. For information on our services and to connect with Vivian, visit infinitehealingfromthestars.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Champion Your Life with me, Leanne Champion. I'm so excited to do some coaching today. And do we have anyone on the line, Olivia, who would like some coaching?
Yeah, we've got Sophia from Oregon on the line. Sophia, you are on with Leanne Champion.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you, Sophia, for coming on.
Well, I'm really enjoying your program. So, I can't believe, frankly, that I called.
Very brave. I love it. So what can I help you with today?
Well, I just wanted to say you named some of the loftiest people that I look up to, which is Mr. Rogers and Eckhart Tolle. Love them both.
How did it get any better than that? Absolutely.
Also, I loved your analogy about the beach ball.
Oh,
I think that's where I'm at, is holding a beach ball. Actually, I think it's like the beach ball is holding me underwater.
Oh, okay. Well, do tell. We don't want to have that happen to you. Let's hear. Tell us what you need help with today.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I'm trying to get past a painful memory of the last time that I saw my mom, which actually was just about a month ago, and it's just consumed me, and I'm not getting past what happened. I was doing okay, and then I'm not. So,
all right, can you give us a little bit of the story? Can you elaborate?
Sure.
For us? Okay.
So my siblings and I, we went to California to visit my mom, who's kind of in her last stages of life. Okay. And, you know, I was preparing for this and I feel ready for that aspect. And before going down, actually, I wrote her obituary as part of just being ready for, because it could happen anytime. And while doing that, I really kind of just fell in love with this person as a person who accomplished so much in her life and the focus off of who she was as my mom. And that really helped me go down to California with a really open heart to this woman. And it, frankly, it was a growth step for me to just have no conflict in my head or my heart when I went to see her. But then in the process of seeing her, things changed so quickly. We gathered around and had a traditional meal. There was about 7 or 8 of us. And we really took stock of all the changes that she's gone through and were a little taken aback at her decline. So I was just being really gentle with her, and I was snuggled up to her and just loving on her. And people were taking a lot of pictures because it hasn't always been easy to be her daughter and to love her. So the family was really happy seeing us together. And that's why, you know, we're taking pictures and stuff. And that was fine.
So it sounds like you showed up from a very pure place, Sophia.
Yeah, I did. I did. And so I was just kind of wide open. And so after dinner, we were all sitting there and she was just looking around at us and smiling and telling us how proud she is of her family and how happy she is that we were there. And then she looked over at me. I was on her left side and was holding her hand. And she looked at me kind of sideways and she said, I'm so surprised that this one turned out okay. Like that. And the mood changed. And I just was kind of taken under all of the sudden. And that's what's been stuck with me. And I don't want that to be my last memory of my mom, is saying how surprised she is that this one turned out okay. I'm the youngest of 5, I should say. So at a certain point, names don't matter anymore. But yeah, I feel like that's going to be my last memory of her.
Okay, so Sophia, so is it all right if I take you on a little bit of a coaching journey? There's something called the model that sometimes helps us to explore what we're thinking in those moments. Is that all right with you?
Sure.
Okay, so what I've heard you say is that your mom is getting close to her final days and your family came together to be together and to be with her and to, as you put in your beautiful words, to love on her, right?
Yeah.
And then you were sitting next to her and holding her hand and things are going well, but then she turned to you and said words. And I think the words you said were, "I'm so surprised that this one turned out okay." Is that correct?
That's exactly what she said.
Okay. And so what was the emotion in that moment that you were feeling?
Well, I felt humiliated and hurt. And also I felt really, really stupid because that's the mom I know. And I went down there with my thoughts kind of in another place. Part of it being her dying and part of it being, you know, looking at her not as a mom, but as a person. And I had all these ideas in my head about who she was. And then I just got smacked in the face with the mom that I grew up with, and it hurt. And it was just like, here we go again. I just felt really dumb for going down with such an open heart.
Okay. So right now we have your mom and she's passing away soon. You're gathered together and she said words. "I'm so surprised this one turned out okay." And the thought, it's so interesting, Sophia, it's actually the circumstance, the words that your mom said, believe it or not, are just very neutral until we have thoughts around them. But your thought is, that's very painful that I heard you say, and tell me if I'm correct, I feel so stupid for opening my heart.
Yeah.
Are those your words, hon?
Yeah.
Okay. And then with that came the feeling of humiliation and hurt. So Sophia, in that moment, take me back if you can. I just sort of want to access some of what you remember. What happened after that?
Well, the first thing I did was I tried to make a joke of it. And I said, well, that's going to take me a year to process. And so I was trying to make a joke of it. And then the tears just came and I just ran away. I went inside and just had a good cry. And was just kind of hitting myself, frankly, just like what an idiot. Like I didn't, again, part of feeling stupid was the fact that I even was crying. I'm like you were saying, I wish I could have laughed. I wish I could have laughed when she said that, but she got me.
Oh, so the actions that you take, it's so interesting. So again, I'm just gonna help you sort of create it again. So you're with your mom and she said those words, and you had a thought, I feel so stupid for opening my heart, because this hit you, right? You felt humiliated, but then you tried to laugh it off. So you had thoughts of, oh my gosh, this is going to take a year to process. You began to cry. You began to feel all the feelings. It sounds like you processed for a day or so. Did I hear you say that?
Well, I went home early from the hotel. I mean, to the hotel. My family took me back early. I just couldn't hang out anymore. And someone took me back to the hotel. And yeah, I did. I went home and, I mean, to the hotel. And I stayed there for about a day and just processed.
Were you being hard on yourself or were you letting it
go?
No,
I was just readjusting my thinking. I mean, I was at first and I was telling everybody how stupid I felt, and because I didn't want them to think I was weak. And I was like, I get it. I should have been able to laugh. But then finally, when I had my family support, I really did adjust and kind of become the adult in the room and realize and prepare for the fact that this is who she is. And where originally I seriously just wanted to go back home, you know, part of me did. I really also, this is our last visit. This is the last time I'm seeing her. So I really wanted to make it right. So
Sophia, I want to just stop you for a second. So you were able to process with your siblings, you were able to shake it off, and then you went back. So really what I want to say is you wanted to leave, but you didn't. So yeah. Good on you. And you did show up as the emotional adult. Because you really wanted to. You did a lot in that moment, actually. You should be very proud of yourself. You did a lot of processing to stay there. So do you think, Sophia, by any chance, your mom may have been saying something that was of an encouraging nature to you now that you reflect on it?
That's a good question. I don't know.
So what happened when you went back? Can you recall that for me?
Sure. So I went back by myself, not with the whole family. And I visited her every day. I would go back in the morning. And like I say, I was prepared at that point for mom's whatever would come from her. And sure enough, she said it again. She said it every time she saw me. She would say, I'm so surprised. You turned out okay.
And how did you respond?
Well, I just said, thanks, Mom.
Okay.
You know, thanks, Mom. Yeah, I just said, thanks, Mom. And, you know, to myself, I was kind of like, took you a while. And and then, so like the fourth time she said it, I got the courage up to say, why are you so surprised? And
what'd she say?
Well, she said, you are like my niece. Her niece is Jennifer. And she loves Jennifer. And frankly, I think she's always wanted Jennifer to be her daughter, not me. But anyway, she says, "You're like Jennifer. You're both so strong. And I can go now." She actually said that.
What? Wait a minute, Sophia. She said what?
She said, "I can go now," about her, like leaving, like dying. "I can go now, seeing, because, you know, that you're, well, because you're strong."
Did you just remember that right now?
Yeah.
Sophia, that's remarkable. Now, if we have choice in life, right, to choose thoughts, the fact that your mom said that you're a beautiful, strong woman and that she can leave now, I think I'd want to choose that thought over, "I feel so stupid opening my heart."
Okay. Can you say that again?
Well, the fact that she said that to you, if you want to choose, "I'm going to memory for you to, you know, to hang on to. My mom said that I'm strong."
Yeah.
"That she can go now."
Okay.
Rather than "I feel stupid for opening my heart." That's just a beautiful thing, Sophia, to cling to. Your mom said you're doing okay. You're doing more than okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting,
yeah.
Right?
Yes. It wasn't as dramatic as when she said that one turned out. I guess maybe that's why it stuck with me, but yeah.
You know, human nature is we get stuck. We hear one thing, right? And that gets stuck with us and we hold on to it and it feels really crummy. But she actually said so much more when you opened up and thought back. I mean, she actually said some really beautiful things. Was she struggling to say that to you, Sophia, or was that the very last thing she said?
She does have dementia and she does have a hard time finding her words. And she did struggle when I finally asked her why. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was struggling, but that's what came out.
It's just incredible. I just think that if you, you know, that we're given the situation with your mom and what is happening, what a beautiful memory to focus in on rather than the other moment when you needed to leave, right? She actually had that private moment when she said what? I want you to say it again so that it sort of resonates for you. Tell me again what she said.
Okay.
About you being strong.
She said, "You're like my niece. You're both strong women and I feel like I can go now." I'm leaving behind strong women. She said that, "I'm leaving behind strong women." And I was brushing her hair at the time. And it was just like, it was a sweet moment. I just was like putting her little a bun in her hair and just knelt down when she started to talk. And we had eye contact. I can't believe I forgot that moment.
That's extraordinary, really.
Yeah, it was really sweet. It was really, really sweet.
You know, there's a proverb. I wish I could remember the exact one. It's not coming to my mind, but it says, "Guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." And what I love about this is, if you think about this, this is what you want to remember. This is what you want to think about.
Yes.
To guard your heart. This is a memory that you want to take with you. And it's just extraordinary listening to you uncover that when you came to me with so much more of a painful thought. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense.
What are you making?
It's interesting that when I went to her more protected, like your quote of guarding your heart, when I went to her more protected, she actually became more vulnerable.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, she said she could find her words and then say something loving.
Incredible. Incredible. Yeah. Sophia, I want to thank you for this. You know, one of my favorite sayings, and I shared it last time on our first show, is reflect, refine and reboot. And you did just that for us. You gave us the most beautiful demonstration of this for everybody, of reflecting, refining your thoughts, right? And rebooting. So, I mean, I can't thank you enough for sharing this memory thank with us.
You. Oh, absolutely. And like I say, I wanted to have a good memory of her, and I was afraid I wasn't going to. So I'm kind of, I really have to sit with this. It's like, it is a good thing that, you know, eventually happened. So.
Yeah, that's your work. You get to sit with this a little bit and process it a little further.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Well, thank you. Honestly, this is tremendous. This is what we all can learn when people come in and they're vulnerable. Everybody who's listening can relate to this in one way, shape, or form. So I cannot thank you enough for coming on.
Sure. Do you have time for a question?
Sure.
Okay. Well, can you say a little bit more about the indulgent emotions? Like, what does that mean?
Well, it's when it's like worry, it's procrastination, it's all those things that stop movement in our lives, Sophia. So it's any of the emotions that come up for you and you think to yourself, oh my gosh, I've been spinning on worry, I've been spinning on this, and I'm not able to get anything done. So those are, okay. There's a lot of them if we think about it, right?
Yeah.
Procrastination is a big one, worry, doubt.
Okay, so the emotions, because there's no emotions that are wrong.
Oh, nothing's wrong, but some of them keep us from moving, right? Does that make sense? It keeps us from making forward momentum. So therein lies our challenge.
Okay, yeah, I get that. And I really like your term of healthy mind management. I think I'm going to put that on my fridge.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Sophia.
Sure thing. Thank you.
All right. You have a good one.
Okay.
Everybody, in closing today, I just want you to remember that there really isn't anything more important than your emotional health. And if someone asked me, Leanne, how do you experience the world? I would tell them it's all through emotion. And the way that you generate your emotion is how you interpret the world. And if we go back to our original question today at the top of the show, right? What is emotional health? And you tell me that it's just being happy all the time. I'm going to have to say to you that you might be stuck in an unhealthy emotional cycle, right? Everyone's so well-intended. They want to be happy. They don't understand why they're not happy all the time. And they've got all the things that they think are going to make them happy, right? And I get this. I just feel the same way. But what I really just want to say to all of you is wait. What? No one told you. You aren't supposed to be happy all of the time, no matter what you have, no matter what you've accomplished, no matter how much weight you've lost, no matter what amazing job you just landed. The emotional experience of life and the acceptance and understanding that we're going to have both, right? The good and the bad, the 50-50 of life, right? The last thing I want to leave you with is the negative part of the emotional experience, strangely, can be the best part. It's often our very, very best teacher. When we have the negative, we can appreciate the positive so much more. We have one precious life, right? And if we can learn to do this, we can be better than happy. We can be emotionally healthy. You have been listening to Champion Your Life with me, Leanne Champion. For more information, please check out my website at leannechampioncoaching.com or just go to Champion Your Life and it'll come up. We are live every other Wednesday. So I'll see you next on May 5th, 1 p.m. Pacific time and 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Until then, Godspeed. Thank you for listening to Champion Your Life with me, Leanne Champion, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To find out more about me and my coaching platform, visit championyourlife.com. That's championyourlife.com. You have one precious life. Let's live it to your fullest potential. Let's go. Let's do this together. See you next time.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.